We are talking about our mission. What is our mission? What is our purpose in life? What are we called to do? Is it just to believe a belief system? Is it just to follow a philosophy? Is it just to be good people and not be bad? Is it just to proclaim Jesus? What is our mission? As a church here, we've capsulized it in this mission statement, that we as a church are called to be loving, following, and sharing Jesus. This is our mission, that as a family, as a body, this is our purpose. This is the work that we are to be about. Last week, we talked about that our number one mission is loving God. Are we loving God? Are we really loving God? Or are we just giving lip service to God? Are we just going through the motions? Or do we truly treasure the precious name and presence of God? Are we loving Jesus? Is our life a love story? Is it a relationship? Is it a daily walk with the one that we love? Now, if that's true, if we are truly loving Jesus, then that brings us to the second part, that we are called to be followers. We are not called to be people that said a prayer and now we call ourselves Christians. As he said, the Bible says that there are going to be many that stand before him and say, okay, I'm ready. Here's my ticket. Let me in. And he's going to say, I don't even know you. He said, but I've done all this in your name. And he said, but you have not followed. The key is not just proclaiming or stating. It is, if you have truly loved him, then we will follow. Loving is the basis, but we cannot say that we love him if we are not following him. And I think so many times we have cheapened other people's life in that we've just wanted so many people to say a prayer and get them to raise their hands, and that means nothing. I think there's going to be hundreds, if not thousands and millions of people that have raised their hands and said a prayer in services and are going to go to an eternity in hell because they never became followers of Christ. They did not pick up that standard that I will follow you. You died for me, and that is my purpose in life, to follow you. Over and over again, throughout the Gospels, we hear Jesus say, follow me. And every time that he did say, believe in me, which is about a third of the times that he said, follow me, even the times that he said, believe in me, it was in the context of you will believe in me by following me. In fact, the sign that you believe in him is that you follow him. If we just say we believe, but we don't follow, it says that we are a liar. We're a hypocrite. In fact, the world admits it, that we should admit it, that the church is filled with hypocrites, which is true. Because many of us say we believe, but we don't follow. Jesus is calling followers. He is calling disciples. Here's a few verses that we are looking at today. Matthew chapter 16. Starting in verse 24. It says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me. Who wants to come after Jesus? We want to follow Jesus. We want to be with Jesus. We want to be in heaven with him. It says, then let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You see, believing in Jesus, accepting the free gift of God. Now, it's nothing that we earn. Jesus is not saying that you need to earn this. You need to live such a life, and then we'll see if I let you in. That's not what he means by this. You see, Jesus did all the work. He died for us. He paid the penalty for our sins. But he says, if you are going to receive the grace that I have to give you, then you have to be willing to empty yourself and let me become your life. You have to let go of that. That's all you have to do. You can't earn it, but you got to let go of it. That is what you have to do. And follow me. In John chapter 12, verse 25, he says this: whoever loves his life will lose it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. For if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. And if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So the honor and the salvation of God comes to the person who receives the free gift by following, by becoming a disciple, a follower of Christ. John chapter 8, this is what Jesus said. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The way we receive life is by following Jesus. And I think this is something that all of us as Christians need to ask ourselves. Because see, from the very beginning, when Jesus walked this world, it was a definite call to follow. In all of his interactions with people, there was always the question, will you follow? Will you begin to change the direction of your life? And it's not just about being good and changing how you live. That's good. And in following Jesus, we will make those changes. But Jesus is more concerned with, will you follow me? Will you begin to let me be the direction of your life, the focus of your life, realizing that you are not the source of your life, that Jesus is the source of our life. Because in ourself, we are all sinners. It says all of us, they're all the same. No one is good enough. We've all fallen short. Even when we come to Christ, we still are sinners. We are still falling short of him. But in following him, we start a journey. It is a new journey in saying that I believe so much so that I will follow you. You see, if we only believe enough that I don't want to be separated from God, I don't want to go to hell, but I just want to believe, I just want to have a philosophy, and I just want to be labeled a Christian, that is not salvation. We lose out on salvation because the call of Jesus is to follow. Now, why does he put such emphasis on following him? Why can't we just believe in him and then live for him and just be good and talk about him and put our trust in him? Why such the emphasis of denying ourselves, picking up our cross? I mean, that language that Jesus says over and over again. Now, that language to us, we've kind of gotten used to it. And we see crosses all the time like this, and we wear crosses. But when Jesus spoke of the cross, we need to understand that the true image of the cross is shame, is ridicule. You would not want to be seen wearing a cross. That was the most despised notion. A cross was one of the only people that got executed on a cross were not just the worst criminals, but they were the ones that were spat on, that were not even worth a good execution. To be crucified on a cross was to be shameful. It was to be disinherited. It is like, I don't even want to be associated with that person because you would lose all reputation, all even standard. I mean, you know, like they say, there's even honor in with thieves. Well, even criminals did not want to be executed because the cross was to be despised. And yet we've kind of made it kind of a symbol of nicety. So when Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me, he's saying a absolute, I mean, we're talking selling out to no shame, to you are willing to be despised, you are willing to be looked at as dirty and separate and of no acclaim at all. And yet that's what Jesus is calling us to. I need you to do that. I don't care what other people think of you. You have to choose that to follow me. So we are talking about a dying to ourselves to follow. Why would Jesus be that radical or extreme? You know, today we don't want to be extreme. Everything's okay as long as you don't, just don't be extreme on anything. Jesus said, no, there's no moderation. There's no balance. If you are not extreme, you are not of me. He said, if someone does not follow me, you are not worthy of me. If you are not willing to take up the cross, you are not worthy of me. God, who loves us so much that he would die for us, why would he spend all the effort to die for us and then say, if you don't even do this absolute terrible thing, that you're not worthy of me? And here's the reason why. Because Jesus knows what we have ignored and what we don't want to look at. Jesus knows that we are in a battle for our spiritual soul. That this life is not just a question of, I'd like to have better people and I want people to start living better. See, that's not the question. We are all sinners. We have all ruined this world. This world is broken, not because of the bad people in it. This world is broken because we are in it. All of us have hatred. We have bias. We have self-centeredness. We are all self-absorbed. And this is what's killing this world. And it is destroying our spirit and our soul. We need to understand that this is a battle. It is not something that you can just appease. Because the enemy, the more you appease it and compromise it, it will take advantage of that. And that enemy may put on a mask and say, okay, we'll make peace with you and we'll sign a treaty, knowing that that treaty will be pushed back and it'll be pushed back and they have no intention of following it. I'm telling you, the enemy of your soul has no intention of following through with the promises that it makes. And we are promised by this world pleasure. If you just work hard, you can gain a lot. You can take care of your family. You can live in a nicer home. All of that is a compromise that is covering up the fact that I'm slowly eating up your life until you are dead and gone and separated from God. You need to understand you're in this fight. And see, that's why we think that this thing, this call that Jesus makes is so radical, because we are blinding our eyes to the reality of the fight that we are facing. And so this call of follow me that Jesus makes is a call to arms. It is a call. We see this throughout our history and throughout our life. We even celebrate it. And in all different ways, we think of, in the athletic world, we think of great people that have called people to battle, and that we've got to gird up and we've got to fight hard and we've got to work and we've got to sweat. We've got to begin to discipline ourselves to win. We think of speeches like Newt Rockne. Win one for the Gipper, right? Come on, team. And what do? When we watch movies like that? We watch movies like Remember the Titans, and we watch movie like Little Giants, and we watch all these movies and we're inspired by them. Yes, we need to give everything to win. And yet we don't realize that there's someone who's trying to call us in the same way, and yet we're not being inspired. We're not willing to discipline to win that battle because we're not even seeing that battle. We've seen people that have made the call. And one of the most famous calls to battle was during the very beginning of World War II, when Hitler was on the rise. And many people tried to ignore, well, Hitler's not that bad, and we'll contain him, and he's not going to do anything. And even the United States, we didn't want to get involved. And we let it just grow and grow. And even Britain did not want to get involved, and the Leaders of Britain appeased him and kept trying to make treaties with him. And you know what? They would make one, and then he would break it, and he would move a little bit farther. Then they would make it one, and he would move a little bit farther, until finally Hitler had taken over all of France. And they were forced to realize, wait a second, we are facing someone who is not willing to be content with just his own country. He really wants to destroy us too. And it was not until a leader like Winston Churchill raised up and said, you need to follow me, because we need to make a decision of who we're going to follow. We can no longer just live a life of ignorance, but we need to rise up. Here's a little picture of his speech that was shown in the movie The Darkest Hour by Winston Churchill.
I take up my task with buoyancy and hope, and say to the House, as I have said to those who have joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and of suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I say it is to wage war by sea, land, and air with all our might and with all the strength that God can give us. To wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark and lamentable catalogue of human crime. That is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer in one word. Victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory, however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there can be no survival.
Are we willing to see and hear this call? Just as they sat at a time where they were facing an enemy, we need to understand that Jesus is calling us to see the enemy that's at our doorstep. Many times we don't see that enemy. We only think that we can appease him. And as long as we believe in this religion, and we have given our life to just believe in God, that we're okay. And yet Jesus says, no, I'm calling you, need to follow me. Unless you follow me, unless you pick up arms and begin to give your life to me, then the enemy is slowly going to take over ground in your life. You see, our policy has to be war. That war is what following Jesus is. In following Jesus, we are waging war against our flesh, against our sin, against this world that would try and defeat us. But we cannot defeat it. We cannot find victory without Jesus, because Jesus is the only one that can bring us that victory. And unless we follow him, we are giving in to the enemy. We cannot believe and say it without following him, or we are giving way to the enemy. You see, if we only proclaim Jesus but do not follow him, we become like those countries that say, we will stay just out of it and I don't want to get involved. The enemy will not respect that, and we begin to be taken over. That is why there will be Christians that call themselves Christians that stand before God and he says, I don't even know you. You don't even realize that the enemy has filled you. You have not found victory because we have not followed Jesus. The call that Jesus says is to rise up, just as the call to the world was to stand up against Hitler, to begin to follow them. And like he mentioned, he said that means that there will be months and months of suffering. He says we realize this, that in fighting the enemy, we will have to sacrifice. There will be those that die. There will be things that we have to give up. But if our aim is victory, then how can we not take our eyes and put them on Jesus? You see, Jesus is calling us to follow him. Because only in following Jesus is there victory over sin and the flesh and the brokenness of this world. It is not a magical formula by speaking the name of Jesus. It is the formula of following Jesus. It is a formula of denying ourselves and saying, I no longer live for myself, but I live for Jesus. See, many of us, we have deluded ourselves, and yet we are like the pacifist who sat back and said, no, we don't want war. I don't want to give up myself. Can't I just, let's just do these things. Let's have diplomacy. Let's just, and yet there is no victory in that because the enemy is not appeased. So what does it take to follow Jesus? What is he calling us to? What is he desperately asking for people to raise up and face the enemy by dying to yourself? You see, the way we win this war is by dying to ourselves and letting Jesus take over. The first thing to follow Jesus is he says you must be single-minded. There is no other way to get to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So we need to stop compartmentalizing him and begin to understand that you cannot just have a part of Jesus, but he must be the only focus of your life. You need to understand you have no other purpose of your life anymore. If you are going to stand up against sin and the brokenness of this world, your purpose is no longer providing for your family. Your purpose no longer is enjoying this life. Your purpose no longer is just finding the way to be better. My purpose is to follow Jesus. And in following Jesus, I may accomplish those other things, but my purpose is following Jesus. We must be single-minded. In fact, the Bible says that a man who is not focused on God, but is just has a place for God in his life, is a man who is double-minded, and it calls him a fool in all things. Because you think you're okay, and yet all you are doing is falling to the deception of the enemy as he laughs at you. We must be single-minded in following Jesus. He must be the reason that we live. Doesn't mean you stop work and I don't do anything anymore. No, but the reason I work is because Jesus has called me. The reason I love my family is because Jesus is there. It's the reason we do anything is because Jesus is our focus. And in focusing on Jesus, those other tasks begin to be the way I love Jesus. But not to the sacrifice of Jesus. We are single-minded, but not only are we single-minded, but it takes unwavering commitment. You see, to wage a war, you cannot give only part of your energy and focus. We must be committed to win. You know what the problem was in Vietnam? Was we were not committed to win. We just wanted to hold the line. And I'm going to tell you, holding the line only causes more destruction and grief and sorrow than ever, as we see in those past histories of times when we were not unwaveringly committed. If we're going to follow Jesus, are you committed? Are you willing to say, I will follow and there's no turning back? Are you willing to say that there is no turning back? Oh, something else came up. Okay, God, I'll be right back. Let me do this. That's not committed. That's, I'll be there when it works out. And God says, don't waste your time. Literally, we are wasting our time. Many of us come and go. And God says, I would rather you not even come. In fact, that's what he told the Israelites. In Malachi, it says, You are making me a fool. And they say, how are we making you a fool, God? He says, by coming and worshiping me with a heart that leaves and goes and does your own thing, and you have just made me a laughingstock. I'd rather you not even come because you're not committed to me. If we're going to win this war, follow me. Not only must we be committed, but we must have willing sacrifice. It will cost you. We need to stop candy coating the gospel. Come to Jesus and everything will be okay. God will make you right and he'll free you from things. You know what? Following Jesus is not going to be easy. And sometimes healing's not going to come right away. And sometimes it's going to be a hard road. And sometimes people are going to be upset with you. And you might even lose friends. But are you willing to sacrifice it for something that is way more valuable? For the treasure of your life that you cannot lose? Are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to sacrifice? We need to be willing to count the cost. There's going to be years of pain and suffering, but you will know in your heart that I'm following Jesus. Now, you can't just give things up and use that as a formula, of course, because many people do that, call it a false sacrifice. Oh, look at what I gave to God. But in your heart, you really didn't give it to God. You just used it to build your own ego. So it's not what you give, it's why you're giving and how you're giving and what he is calling you to give. It is a heart that is willing to follow him in what he wants me to give, not just what I choose to give. You see, many of the Israelites brought sacrifices that God said, this is no good, it's your leftovers. Yeah, you sacrificed, but you know what you kept for yourself. I'm talking about a true sacrifice of the heart. I'm talking about laying your heart down and saying, God, take all my desires and give me your desires. That's the sacrifice that he wants. He is looking for a heart, not just a sacrifice. The final thing is to follow him. What does it take? It takes constant diligence. You see, to follow Jesus in this battle for your soul, which he has already won, but you do not receive that if you don't follow him. Many people say, well, why do I need to follow him? He's already won it. He's already got that. So if I've asked him to forgive me, haven't I received that? The Bible says this, work out your salvation with fear and trembling that you might receive it on the day of the Lord. You see, it was a free gift that has already been purchased. But unless we follow Jesus, we have not received it. Because it is laid up for us in heaven. And so therefore, we must truly be given to Christ in our life. It takes constant diligence. It means every day we need to die to ourselves. Every day we need to say, God, give me a heart after yours. God, every day let me follow you in love, in service. Every day I need to ask myself, what do I need to cleanse myself of? Because every day I know that I fall back. Every day I need to know him more. You see, even though we are following Jesus, it's a mystery. It is a growth. It's like a relationship. How many know that when you first meet someone, you don't know everything about them on the first day? It takes day after day of spending time with them, of following them, spending time and talking, and even through the hard times, even through the arguments and the disagreements, your relationship grows. We need to every day with Jesus, with diligence, which means intentionality, when I wake up and throughout the day remind myself, hey, wait a second, I'm living for Jesus today. Hey, wait a second, I need to remind myself that I'm following him, I'm not following myself. We need to constantly, diligently discipline ourselves. That's what it takes to win a war. You see, too many times we try and just keep it in religious terms. No, what does it mean to be saved? What does it take for me to be saved? You need to stop worrying about what it takes to be saved and start saying, I've got to win this war against my flesh. And it's through Jesus that I can win because I am a victor. I am a conqueror through Christ. And if it's through Christ, then I better ask myself, am I in Christ today? Am I following him today? That's what it takes to win the war over our flesh. Well, if that's what it takes, what do I need to do? How do we do it? And here's the thing. The first thing to win any war, the first thing you need is training. Right? When you answer the call to war, when you hear the speech and that, yes, we're now at war, and if we're going to win this war, I need to answer that. That means I got to show up to be trained. Every soldier needs to be trained. Every athlete that joins a team, if we're going to win the championship, we got to go to get trained first. The first thing we need is training. If we are following Jesus, we are in a training. I am committed to a training program. And I'm going to tell you, there's three things that go into the training of following Jesus. First thing is we're in the Word. If we're going to follow Jesus, I need to be in the Word because I need to know Him more. Being in the Word means I know about Him. I learn about Him. Every day there's something more to learn because even I don't know everything. People ask me, what does this mean in the Bible? I said, you know what? Sometimes I don't know. We need to pray about it. We'll just keep reading it. We'll study it. We are constantly learning, and it comes from the Word. But the more we're in the Word and the more we grow in the Word, we become trained by it. It says the Word is good for training, for correction. It's sometimes good for conviction. Because how many know that sometimes we do things wrong and we need to be corrected? Don't be afraid to be corrected as a Christian. We may be a Christian for 60, 70 years. You still need to be corrected because we get into bad habits. And sometimes we learn things, new methods that we didn't even know. How many know there's Hall of Fame athletes that even at the end of their career, they are learning new methods. Oh, here's a new trick how to block someone that they may have never known, but they're willing to learn it. Even at that point, are we willing to get in the Word of God? And are we willing to come and hear the Word and discuss the Word? That's why we come together. Are we willing to get into prayer? We need to spend time in prayer. This is in listening to God. See, it's one thing to read the Word, but then are we willing to pray and listen to the Holy Spirit speak to us? And let the Holy Spirit unfold what the Word said. And then are we willing to talk with Him? And that is what prayer is. It is simply a communion. It's not just asking for things. Prayer is spending time in the presence of God. I mean, it may happen in your car driving. It may happen in your bed. It may happen at work while you're sitting at your desk. But are you willing to be trained by prayer? It means coming together and leaning on one another. And then the third thing is teamwork. You cannot be prepared and win a war without teamwork. You don't win a championship in sports without teamwork. You've got to come and practice together. And you don't just come and practice the day before the game. How many know the soldiers don't just come together for some training the day before they get shipped out to war? It is an everyday thing, and so many times we think church is just something when we can fit it in. No, church is a necessity when we come together as a body in every different way, not just Sunday mornings, but Wednesdays when we get in the Word and fellowship times. All of those things are part of the training of becoming the army of God, the team that God has us. That's why it is so important that teamwork is part of following God. You cannot follow Jesus without the body around you. So many people think, I can be a Christian without church. You cannot. Everything Jesus did was in community. Every person he said, he never said, go out and just live your life for me. He always connected them, even back to the synagogue, go back to the priests. He always connected us to the body. Teamwork is part of the training that builds us up. But not only do we need to train, but we need to serve. That's why it says when you go in the army, you serve. You serve. Once we are trained, we need to serve. If we are following Jesus, we need to ask, am I serving? Where am I serving? There's three things that we need to serve. First of all, we need to serve the Lord. Serving the Lord means putting into practice that training by living your life. The training that we receive through word and prayer and teamwork, now we need to put into action in my life. I need to begin to build my character. That I walk in love, I walk in forgiveness, I walk in encouragement, I walk in generosity. My life is the first place that I serve, and in that I am serving the Lord. I live my life that everything I do is for the Lord. I don't care if anyone even sees me. You're not serving, you're serving the Lord. Are you following Jesus in such a way that my life is a reflection of the training that he has put in me, that he is making me a new creation, and I serve him by living for him? But not only do I serve the Lord, but I serve the body. You see, I have been trained, and I've been put in a body to serve one another. It says that as we love one another, the world knows that Jesus was sent by God. How else is the world going to know if it does not see us serving one another? We are called to be a living body. It says each one of us are part of a body so that we can make the whole body a beautiful bride to Christ. If you are not serving the body, you're not following Christ. You need to find a place and serve. Not just attend, not just show up. You need to ask yourself, where am I serving? Because if I'm serving, what is the training doing? Am I just soaking it in? Am I being fed? We're always worried about being fed by the Lord. But the only reason for the energy that comes from food is to go out and do something. We are called to feed the body first. We are called to serve the body. That is how we follow Jesus, is by loving the body, by building up the church, by making it strong and making it a reflection of God to the world. And then the final place is we serve the world. What are you doing for those outside the church? We don't get so focused that, yes, we are called to serve the body and the church, but this is not just a holy huddle. At some point, we break the huddle and we go out into the world and we touch people that are lost, that are hurting. And if we do not become people that have the hand of Jesus, that begin to encourage those that are lost, that offer hope to those that are hopeless, then we are not following Jesus. So it is in our training and then our serving that we rise up and we experience the victory that God brings through us. It is as we follow Jesus that we are Christians. The very definition of a Christian is not someone who believes in their head about Jesus, but someone who loves Jesus so much that I am a Christ follower and I am his. And this is how Paul put it. I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but it is Christ who lives in me. That my life now is the very life of Christ. Can you say that? And I know that it's not fully to this point, but every day it needs to be more and more. Because we are walking a journey. But we need to begin to walk closer and closer every day. To say, God, I will be a follower. God, call me to a new walk of discipleship in your life. And so our mission, like we said, if you will choose to accept it, is first of all to love God. And if we love God and experience his love, then we need to understand that we're in a battle and we need to begin following. Are you willing to answer the call? The call against the fight for your soul. The call against the fight for your neighbors and your family's soul. The only way you're going to win that for your loved ones is by following the Lord. By stepping up and saying, I will answer the call. And I will follow. I will no longer appease the enemy. No longer will I ignore this battle. But I'm only going to win through Jesus. And so let us get our eyes on Jesus. And let's start the fight. Let's follow him wherever he goes. Let's bow our heads.